Jesus got into a boat and went off to a deserted place by himself. We hear this gospel every year, or a different form of it, and yet that line catches us. It teaches us something about Christ and about ourselves. Why did Jesus go away alone? What was he doing there? What did he learn? One day I got a phone call at about 8:45 in the morning, and they called me to tell me to turn on the television set. I don't normally watch TV at 8:45 in the morning. The date was September 11th, 2001, a day that I'm sure almost all of you remember where you were at that moment when we heard that news. It is similar to when one gets a phone call or hears some news that something has happened to someone and it happens unexpectedly. St. Teresa of Lisieux said that we mark our time by such moments, and they're usually moments that catch us by surprise, in a way. I was thinking about sometimes I will mention in certain groups that something reminded me of the day that President Kennedy died. My mother used to talk about President Roosevelt all the time. I don't remember President Roosevelt's death, but when I talk about President Kennedy's death, if I talk to a younger crowd, they look at me like I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln, you know? And I said, you know, I was only in the second grade, but I remember everything. I never sell second graders short, I'll tell you. I remember the drums and the riderless horse and the tears and Jackie Kennedy's veil, you know, and all that stuff. And so these moments are seared into us. And so when we look at today's gospel, we find one of those moments with Christ. For him, that was a moment in his human life that was so similar to what we go through. And the moment, of course, was that somebody, he's going around the Sea of Galilee doing his ministry. It's been about a year. And somebody comes to him with this news. John the Baptist has died. His cousin, 3 months older than Jesus, you know, about 33 years old. And a very gruesome death it was, wasn't it? How would you like to hear that your cousin had his head served on a platter at a dinner party? I mean, that would make anybody stop and say, whoa, I need a little time here to deal with this. What did Jesus do? What did he think about? I think probably we're safe to say that while he was on the boat, one of his thoughts was something like this. I'm next. Maybe I'd better stop and look again at my plans because my time is short. I have to make the most use of my time. The time is short. That was a wake-up call for him. And it shows that he shared our humanity, you see. Christ, of course, knew everything, but in his human nature, this was a terrible shock. And a relative, and somebody his own age. And a death not unlike his own would be. So what does he do? He sends the disciples off by foot, no doubt told them where he was going. He got into a boat. In our Bible study, we've come up with something I've never thought of every week. People have insights, and one of them was, no doubt he took a boat to be alone. He knew that at least while he was on the Sea of Galilee, nobody would bother him. Because, you know, as soon as he got to the far shore, people had guessed where he was going. And so he saw that crowd had followed him. They had guessed, they had heard, and he set out to die to himself and to minister to them, even though he was still grieving. Our Lord was grieving and thinking and moving on, all that stuff that we have to do. About 25 years ago, as I mentioned before, my mother passed away. She had had a long illness, but it was still kind of a sudden end, you know, like they often are. I don't know why it caught me by surprise, but it did. And so I did what Jesus did. I said, I've got to be alone for a while. So I got in the equivalent of a boat. I had a car that got about 12 miles to the gallon. That's that kind of a boat. And I drove up to Oregon. It would have cost me $1,000 in that car now. But anyway, I was living in San Diego, and so I drove up here to my sister lived with her husband in Milwaukee, Oregon. So I went up. First night I spent at the Camaldo Lease in Big Sur. That's a great place if you want to be alone. And then the second night, I stopped in Eureka. I think the church is called Sacred Heart. I'm not quite sure. And I stopped there for Mass on Saturday night. It was a weekend. And so I sat in the back, and the priest started talking. I'm sitting there grieving, trying to figure out what to do with grief, you know. And the priest starts talking, and he picks up this book, and he says, I want to talk to you about grief. And I thought, my gosh, he's talking right to me. You know, I've always thought ever since then, my homily may only reach one person, but maybe that's the person it was intended to reach. This priest never knew how much he affected me. I never told him. I don't know who he was. Probably he's dead by now. But here I am with the same book, and it's because of him. It was called A Grief Observed by C.S. Lewis. Anybody here read that? Maybe some of the beginning experience. Is this part of the textbook for beginning experience? It's called A Grief Observed. C.S. Lewis was a prolific, he was a prolific Christian writer, and he was an Episcopalian. And this book, however, is very different than his other books. And he was a confirmed bachelor all of his life. But when he was in his 60s, he met somebody that he fell in love with and married her. Her name was Joy. And Joy was the love of his life, you know. He never thought he'd find this person, and he did. And then not long after he married her, Joy came down with cancer. And Joy died after only 2 years. And C.S. Lewis was very, 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 very angry with God. But unlike most of us, he put it down in writing. He allows all of us to come with him through his process of grief and anger and grief, and the two are very close together. Why, God, did you even give her to me only to take her away? Did you do this to be cruel? You know, you go through the whole cycle. And I found this very helpful. It's very helpful for people going through a divorce and things like that. Other kinds of grief are just as bad. And God gets mixed in with this. I think that all of us need to know, as St. Paul points out in the second reading, that nothing can come between us and the love of Christ. How do we know that? Because Christ died on a cross. And because he himself went through grief. He was never angry with God, but he certainly had grief. He felt that sense of loss that's part of human life. In fact, that's the essence of life, is loss. It's God's way of telling us the found part is yet to come. Everything here is a loss, ultimately, unless it's for God. So, periodically in life, we will find that we are in a boat. Perhaps we've put ourselves there to be alone. Perhaps it is not our choice. But we have to go through something. But the truth is, we are not alone. Nothing can separate us, no matter what the suffering we have. It cannot separate us from the love of Christ made visible. The love of God made visible through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we know, as alone as we may be in that boat, no matter how many people are in our lives, Christ is in the boat with us. He was not alone either. He brought everybody with him. And we are with him too. When Christ heard of the death of John the Baptist, he found a boat and he went off to be alone.